Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Sunday night, May 6th, WWE presented Backlash, an 8-match show that was more than 3 hours long. Mike Riley, my big takeaway, these finishes seem to come out of nowhere. Jeff Hardy beat Randy Orton out of nowhere. Daniel Bryan tapped out Cass seemingly out of nowhere. Charlotte Flair was defeated by Carmella after her knee buckled from a moonsault. The AJ Styles Nakamura match seemingly ended on a double countout and a no disqualification match, which seems like a logic hole, but they tried to explain it, but that came out of nowhere. Roman took 15 minutes of punishment, hits one spear, and beats Samoa Joe. So what do you think? Why do you think these finishes are seemingly coming out of nowhere?
It's like nowhere either. Lack of communication. Obviously, AJ Styles legitimately took a chair to the face and he was bleeding. Daniel Bryan, I could see with the fact of, you know, being extra cautious. You know, Charlotte, again, extra cautious with that, with the knee situation there. Maybe it's the overload of work, Jimmy. You know, the bodies can only take so much, and that's why they're being extra cautious with the way they finish things like this. And yeah, it's the first major pay-per-view in the United States after WrestleMania. So there's no need to go 100 miles an hour into the event where you can kind of take a little back seat here, go a little slower and kind of regroup here moving forward as they officially have turned the calendar year on the WWE right after WrestleMania. So it's just, I think they're still setting the tone for future rivals, how this is going to go, if they're going to continue these particular feuds or whatever. And obviously, the chance of injury, they're being very cautious with that too.
Well, I'm wondering a few things. I'm wondering if it's a WrestleMania hangover on our part. Yeah. I'm wondering about the dual-branded shows, which that's going to be a bigger part. That's going to be a bigger conversation that I want to get to a little bit later on. But check out these match times. 20 minutes for the opener for Seth Rollins, which was fabulous match. Match of the
great
night.
Great match. Yep.
10, 12, 7, 9, 21, 8, and 18. Now, the Joe Roman match, the 18 is an official match time. So say they went 25.
Right.
But that's still, for pay-per-view, that was loaded. I was legitimately excited about this show because of the matchup combinations that were a part of it.
Yeah.
And I felt very left down. Plus, they had a never-ending bit with Elias and New Day and Rusev Day. And
well,
it just, unfortunately, this pay-per-view was kind of a dud. And I'm just not sure. I'm just overly disappointed about this entire show when I had high expectations going into it.
I kind of felt like this was an episode of Monday Night Raw or Tuesday Night SmackDown, not a pay-per-view. And it really felt that way. I'm glad you said that, with that never-ending bit there with Elias, the New Day, No Way Jose, all those guys that came out, Titus Worldwide, that it was an episode of Raw. You see that on Monday or Tuesday night, but not on a pay-per-view. And actually, that actually was a good segment. I thought it was funny. But you don't see that during the pay-per-view. And that's what had this end at, what, 11:27, 11:30, close to that time? And I know they can get away with it. They got the network and so forth, but it just dragged in the end. And it just a major, major letdown. Real WrestleMania hangover. Good thing that Money in the Bank is next month, that they can kind of rally around that there.
There's a video circling around the internet of people leaving during the Roman Reigns Samoa Joe match, which to me is a crime because that's a fabulous main event and a fabulous match. But this leads me into your big takeaway from the show, from Backlash.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you know, I think I'm definitely not in the minority here on this one, but it's time for Roman Reigns to get away from the main event spotlight. He is not a main event caliber superstar anymore. That's it. You're getting booed by the fans. Jimmy, the three big chants during that match. I wrote them all down. Obviously, you had boos. This is boring. Bump, 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 bump. This is boring. And then Rusev Day. That's a very popular one. And then the last one, CM Punk. CM Punk. Pretty appropriate how Money in the Bank is in Chicago next month, too, by the way. But if that is going to happen for Roman Reigns tonight or during Backlash there, and it changed the outcome of the WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar, he cannot be in that position anymore. They are legitimately sticking him down our throats. It's too much. And I like Roman Reigns. It's killing him as a likable guy. You know, he gets his ass kicked the first 2 minutes and somehow wins. It's over. Put him down on the Intercontinental title reign. Put him on the U.S. title. No more main event. That's it. Or even in a tag team. That no more. Done. You got too many big guys. You got Strowman. You got Samoa Joe. Even Bobby Lashley now. Goodbye, Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar, of course. That's it. Done. Done with main events.
So I'm wondering in the bigger picture, because Vince McMahon loves Roman Reigns, that's clear. Vince McMahon loves Brock Lesnar, that seems to be clear. Would Roman Reigns had been better served to be transitioned to SmackDown? That seems
maybe
like a better... I don't want to... Maybe that wouldn't have worked, but...
Well,
Mike, let me ask you this, because I'm pondering theories as you're ranting about this, is how do they fix it? Because it felt like for a short time when he was part of the Shield that people were behind him.
They're behind him because the Shield actually, you know, they're likable guys and they like what they did and, you know, going out there kicking others' asses and just, you know, being a good a group that you can get behind there. But to your point with the SmackDown, that would be good, I think, for Roman Reigns. Look what they did to Nakamura. The best thing they did to him, turn him heel. Okay, and I'm not saying that Roman Reigns Nakamura, a feud right there, would be the best thing for WWE, but it may be the best thing for Roman Reigns. And then you could also match him up with other guys that he hasn't gone up against. Yeah, he did fight The Miz briefly, but you can put him up against Daniel Bryan now. You could put him up against AJ Styles, which we haven't seen. Obviously, one of them will have to be heel, and we know who that would be. It wouldn't be Roman. You know, change that up there. It's not working for him against these big guys, and especially on the Raw roster.
Do you think that they're just so blinded by the fact that Roman gets this reaction and has been getting this reaction for the last, let's see, 34 years or so?
Yeah.
And that's why? I don't know what his merch money is, but
it's gonna be big.
I have to think that he's got to be in that club of eight, which make over $1 million in WWE. So if that's the case, then there's the difference between the live event crowd and the merch money. And if the merch money is that much and he's getting a reaction, that's why they keep putting him in a main event, I think.
From a business standpoint, I understand what you're saying on that. But it just for the fans there, and yeah, they're literally putting earplugs in their ears not to listen to the fans. They don't care. If he's making the money, then that's all that matters.
Well, I think what is more disturbing is the fact that there's video of people walking out. And whether that's because of the match that was hitting the ring or the fact that they went past 11 o'clock, which has become a common theme.
Right.
They're leaving during your big stars match, and that's kind of an issue.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I wasn't too surprised that was the main event. I thought it would have been AJ Styles and Nakamura. You have the WWE Championship on the line. That should have been your main event.
I think the finish kind of gave it away.
And again, I understand that. I get it. But you know what? You're taking away the prestige of the title right there. When your top guy as Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, is not even on the card.
Well, it's because he's special.
Yeah, he gets these privileges.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Anytime you're a champion, no, please. Anytime you're a champion, that should be defended on every single pay-per-view.
Brock Lesnar is the number one draw, the number one attraction they have. They save him for special moments.
But that brings people out for him, and I get it. But when you don't have him on there, it should have been AJ Nakamura. And actually, in the end, good thing it wasn't, because that double disqualification was a joke.
I mean, would you rather have the double DQ or would you rather have Jinder Mahal winning the championship? Because that happened at last year's Backlash.
Jinder Mahal.
Thank you. Good, yeah. Good answer, Mike. I'm pleased with that answer.
Someone actually wins.
Well, this leads me into my question is Seth Rollins the number one male wrestler on Monday Night Raw right now? Because I think he is, and here's my argument. Yeah. Last 10 weeks or so, I put it at roughly 10 weeks, but Rollins defeats Roman Reigns in the first fall and then John Cena before Elias eliminates him after wrestling for an hour and 5 minutes. And as we can figure out, Daniel Bryan just broke that record by being in the Royal Rumble for an hour and 20, an hour and 15. But at the time, Seth Rollins wrestled for an hour and 5 minutes, which was the longest performance in a match by any wrestler in WWE history that we can find. Bryan broke that record. At the Elimination Chamber, Rollins was the fifth man eliminated by Strowman. That's a pretty good feat. He lasted that long. At WrestleMania, he became the first man to pin Miz at a WrestleMania when he defeated... Oh, I'm sorry, that's incorrect, because Cena beat him last year. Sorry.
Cena beat him, yeah.
That's my notes, my mistake.
No, that's okay.
Rollins beats The Miz and beats Finn Balor, wins the Intercontinental Championship, wins the Triple Crown, wins the Grand Slam, and then Seth goes on to the greatest Royal Rumble, defends the championship against Balor, Miz, and Samoa Joe, and probably what was the best match on the greatest Royal Rumble show in Saudi Arabia. And then he beats Finn Balor again to retain the championship, and then tonight he beats The Miz. And I don't know how you can not make the argument that Seth's promos have been on fire,
yep,
and his matches have been outstanding. He deserves to be the Intercontinental Champion, and I think he's the number one male wrestler on Raw. And here's where I think it swung in the direction of the fans buying back into Seth Rollins.
Okay.
He got the curb stomp back.
Yeah, he did.
He got his cool finisher back.
And that's risky
that
with the
finisher
ACL.
Can beat anybody at any time, as you saw with his match with The Miz tonight.
Right, right. And you know, they're so cautious with him on that ACL injury that took him out of action for, what, over a year, right?
And now it's becoming a story in a match, as you saw tonight.
Exactly.
Seth Rollins rams his knee into the ring post. Miz goes right for the figure four. And away we go with telling the injured knee story. But
right,
that curb stomp can come out of nowhere. And
right,
you put that with Seth's athleticism, his promo skills. And if you noticed, the crowd was into the burn it down.
Yeah, they are. They're back. They got that. And let me ask you a question, Jimmy. I don't know if you remember, but after the Royal Rumble, you and I did a show together, and I raised the point of saying, when Roman Reigns wins the title at WrestleMania, it didn't happen, his first feud should be up against Seth Rollins. And they know each other. Rollins is in contention for the Universal title. When, again, Roman Reigns did win, I said. But I am standing to my point there that, yes, he is main event caliber. And he should be in that picture there. And maybe like Roman Reigns, he could have had that shift over to SmackDown and gone for the WWE Championship. But now that he's, you know, on Raw, he's going to bring that Intercontinental Division to a whole new level. And, you know, The Miz did it for such a while. And I'm really excited to see what he and Finn Balor are going to continue to do here. Again, I would throw Roman Reigns into that category with Seth Rollins, even though he's not the Universal Champion right now. Put him in there and have him go at each other. I think it'd be great, great competition, in-ring competition. Roman is a good in-ring competitor. He's good. He's not good when he gets his ass kicked for the first 5 minutes, and then he rallies out there somehow and does that spear and Superman punch. It's fake. We don't like it. I hate it. I want to see him compete and absolutely do the best he can do in the ropes, not outside going through a table. It's old. It's old. It's old. I'm done.
I think I have to bleep you for using the F word there.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you used the F word. We can't use that F word on this show.
I didn't say the F word, did I?
Yes, you did. You said the word fake. Well, now I have to bleep myself.
That's cute, Jimmy. That's cute.
Just trying to keep you on your toes. But I think,
sorry,
I think
it's hot
for the,
right now. I'm hot.
For the purpose of going forward, I think Seth Rollins is the number one man on Monday Night Rollins.
Yeah, it's a show. I'm giving it to you.
And
yeah,
I just the back to your point about Roman Reigns for a second. Mm-hmm. The reaction, the merch money, the main event positioning, the Vince McMahon love, the size, the look. He fits all the criteria of what has made Vince McMahon money for a long time. And if you look at, like, I think Braun Strowman's the future of the company, but he's Andre right now, and he doesn't need a championship in the same way that Finn Balor, I don't think, needs a championship. Seth Rollins, I think it enhances him when he has a championship, a group, something like that, in the same way that it does for The Miz. So yeah. Roman needs that extra dimension, and I'm kind of not sure how they get it. So for the time being, my point stands that Seth Rollins is the number one man on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I can definitely ride on the coattails of that. And, you know, you don't have Brock Lesnar on there every week. So for a consistent basis, Seth, the best all-around performer and all-around, you know, wrestler in the ring, microphone, all that. He is number one on Raw. I'll give you that. Now, I do have to touch on this, Jimmy, if you don't mind.
Well, I got a text message. Actually, you know what? Lead into your next take, and I'll share with you a text message that I got about your next take.
Someone with Seth Rollins?
No, where you're going next.
Okay. Braun Strowman here and Bobby Lashley. Yep. I got a touch on this. You know, you just mentioned Strowman were being the future of the company, but the fact that they threw him in a tag team match with Bobby Lashley, that's really cool. Two big name guys. That's something you see on a house show. That's something you see on Monday Night Raw, okay? You don't put them together in a tag team against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I guess it is the only opportunity to do it, though, in the pay-per-view. It's co-branded now. But you put them together on one of those situations, not a pay-per-view. Give them a one-on-one time there. I know Lashley has been in the company less than a month now. Strowman coming off a hot Royal Rumble win there. And, you know, that he was so over. He may be the most over superstar right now, Jimmy, really, with these hands. You know, it's awesome. But, you know, one thing I wish the WWE did, if they're really going to put the credit on Braun Strowman for winning the greatest Royal Rumble and, you know, supposedly getting all that money there from Saudi Arabia, let him wear the title down that he won, that Christmas title. Remember we were talking about that? Wear it out there. You know, take pride in that.
But, or at least do what they did with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, is they'd put the trophy at ringside and they'd showcase it.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, I think...
But what I think that leads me to believe is that they being WWE, were trying to emphasize that this is an important moment and we're giving you a trophy, we're giving you a championship title. In reading Meltzer, there seemed to be a lot of odd requests from the Saudi Arabians that they just couldn't deliver on. They requested Hulk Hogan. They requested Yokozuna. And there were some other...
Yokozuna's kind of impossible, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I don't think that they understood certain things that WWE just couldn't deliver on. So I think that's why they tried to go over the top in awarding Strowman a trophy, a championship, and having Vince McMahon in the ring to present it all.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, you're getting all that money from them, and you might as well go overboard on delivery.
I mean, JR, I believe, on his podcast said that he was scheduled to do play-by-play of that show because the Saudis had requested it, and then they adjusted to him and Lawler just being on the pre-show.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. And, you know, good for them. They got a lot of things that were delivered to them. And
$18 million for that show. $18 million. I have it on pretty good authority that that was the number.
And 2 weeks after WrestleMania, your hottest show of the year, the fact you get all those guys over there, that's pretty good. But for a guy like Braun Strowman, though, the potential future of the company, he and Bobby Lashley, that match was an absolute dud.
Well, do you think that they are putting Lashley and Strowman together to ultimately turn one against the other?
Yeah, oh, totally. I could see that.
And that seems to be where the story would progress from there, because they're kind of two men without a country right now, because you're not putting Braun in the title picture right now because he doesn't need a championship, I don't think. And I think you're saving Bobby Lashley for a Universal Championship match with Brock Lesnar or a match with Roman Reigns or a confrontation with Strowman ultimately.
hopefully not Roman Reigns, but I would love to see it. SummerSlam, your biggest show, the next big show coming up here in the 2018 year, at least. I would love to see Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title.
I dig it. I liked when they did the Fatal 4-Way last year.
Yeah.
I'm big on elimination style matches instead of, you know, first pinfall wins, because I think it cheapens it a little bit, but I understand it's in there to protect people. Oh, so what? We can get a double count out?
Oh, good talk about that too.
But that's why they made it clear that it was a no DQ match, because that was the finish that they had in mind. And I don't know who actually, you know what? I actually can find out. Hang on one second. Did you see,
all right,
small digression here. Did you see the Backlash run sheet that made its way around the internet?
I heard about it, but I didn't see it though. What do you got though?
So it came out a little bit before the show. Basically, a piece of paper with the entire run sheet was left on a mixing board at WWE. So if you go to a show, you'll notice the hard camera, which has all these seats that are blocked out, and it's in front of the hard camera will be in like Loge 1 if you're sitting at TD Garden. It'll be center ring.
And I got it right here.
Beneath it is an audio mixer, and sometimes they'll put the announce teams. We actually sat where this mixing board would be for a house show that was in Boston a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so the audio mixer had the Backlash run sheet, and a fan took a picture of it and put it out on Twitter.
Yep.
So I'm not sure whether I blame the producers for the match or if I just blame Vince McMahon for his stupid booking. Can I blame all of the above?
Sure.
Okay. That's then I'll blame option. All of the above.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Go option A, all of the above.
Okay.
No,
so it's floating around online. Maybe I'll tweet it out. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
It's kind of hard to see too, because it's, you know, they had to zoom in, and you really get I don't know. If you don't have LASIK surgery or 20/20, it's going to be tough to see.
Do your plugs.
No, I can't do that. I got to be careful with all that. That's fine.
Oh, okay. I was trying to get you some more money.
I don't know if they paid, but yeah, it's been a year since I went to Boston Laser. So there you go. Yeah.
So the text message that I received from a friend was F Bobby Lashley. And it's not the F word that I would have bleeped you for. It's actually the F word that I bleeped myself on last week after Mike Kanellis was eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
I was not happy about that either.
No, nobody was. So my next kind of takeaway from the show is with regards to Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just check the resume for a second here, right?
I
understand Carmella is fabulous promo. She's working. She's a work in progress. I like her. Like, I think she's got good pizzazz. But don't step to the queen, okay? But let's just look at her at Charlotte's resume for a second. So she can go over Sasha Banks in competitive matches on every pay-per-view, right? That happened. She beat Charlotte retained in Boston in Hell in a Cell, the first ever women's Hell in a Cell match. Then she ends Asuka's streak at 914 days. And now you're telling me she can't beat Carmella? That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that
what
is,
it seems
that
like.
Is what you're telling me, is that Charlotte Flair, who has this fabulous resume, 100,000 fans, she beats Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch and becomes the Raw Women's Champion. She was it 19 pay-per-views in a row where she won matches?
19.
She beats Asuka, and she can't beat Carmella? Like, Carmella is the one who has her number.
Yeah.
Carmella. With due respect, like, Carmella's got to cheat to win.
Yeah.
I think to have more credibility, and it just angers me that the finish of that match was Charlotte lands weird on her knee, and then she gets rolled up in 7 minutes, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, they could have told a much better story than that. And plus the fact I'm pissed because Charlotte lost, and Charlotte should be the champion, and championships matter to me, and it will always be that way for me. And I understand some of their logic, and that's actually going to lead to what I think is next in the programming of Charlotte.
All right, because I got to touch on this real quick, too, because Carmella is the greatest New England Patriots cheerleader of all time, so let's not bash her too much there. But I
no,
will say,
it's not
see...
it's not bashing her, per se,
know,
because her promo was great. If you watched Talking Smack,
did,
or the post game show, her dancing around the desk
moonwalk and everything
and doing all that stuff and being like, I beat Charlotte. That's great stuff. But
that's all she was doing.
You beat Charlotte Flair. And that's too close to home for me, so stop that.
Understood. But that's all she kept saying, though. Give me something else. She said Femella, right? And she was saying there.
Mellow is money was what needs to be on her T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she's great. I'm not taking anything away from Carmella, but you've hit too close to home with the booking against Charlotte Flair.
Understood for you there, Jimmy. Understood. But she also has paid her dues. She worked her way up for the NXT, not taking that away from Charlotte.
She's a fabulous talent.
It's kind of like an honor to beat Charlotte, who is the greatest in the company right now for the women's division. And it's really interesting. Less than a month ago, in fact, you know, we're not even less than a month away from WrestleMania, and she was the champion. She was the one going up against Asuka, and now losing to Carmella twice. What has happened here? You know, so are they burying her? What's the deal?
No, I think it's a long play. What historically I feel like they've done in WWE is they take somebody, they push them to the top, and then they kind of cool them off.
Yeah.
So Charlotte came into SmackDown a year ago as one of the top picks, an early pick.
She was.
And she kind of floated around for a little bit. And then they had her beat Natty for the title, and they were saving it. They were saving Charlotte for Asuka.
Yeah.
And they had this planned out in advance. So I think at the moment, they're cooling Charlotte down. Well, Charlotte also had the book put out, so they put her over strong in other ways. But I think that if I'm planning out the next year or so, and we're on the road to WrestleMania 35 in New York, Charlotte versus Ronda seems to be the main event that everybody is guessing is going to happen.
That.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
So what I think they'll do in the short term is they will do Charlotte versus Asuka. The winner of that match gets Carmella for a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have Asuka go over, and then that way they're 1-1. And then Asuka will ultimately beat Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And then Asuka will go on a title run because she should get a title run. I mean, she was unbeaten for 900 plus days, and
they
need something. She seems to be somebody who needs something going forward. So why not do that? And then they can have her get beat on whoever wins the Women's Money in the Bank match.
I could see that. And that's a good plan going forward. And Jimmy, to your comment there with Asuka, it made me think about that. And I know we're going to talk about this, but Asuka was not on the Backlash card.
Nor was Becky Lynch.
Or Ronda Rousey.
For a pay-per-view that's named after Becky Lynch, I mean, it's Becklash.
That's true. That was the first SmackDown one after the
She won the SmackDown Women's title on Becklash.
Exactly. And Ronda Rousey, she was not on the card either. So your first co-branded pay-per-view, you know, obviously Ronda Rousey, they're billing her as the greatest free agent signing of all time, perhaps. And Asuka, who was just undefeated, and Becky Lynch wasn't on there. I didn't see much of Kurt Angle.
They did something on the pre-show with Kurt Angle and Paige doing Ask the GM questions, where Kurt Angle said that he wants to fight Daniel Bryan at some point.
Good. I think that'd be great. But I didn't see much of them, you know, anything at all on the main show. So I don't know. It just, they got a lot of work to do here with this co-branded pay-per-view here. And I understand.
I have some thoughts on this. We'll get to this when we close the show.
Right.
Let's leave the people wanting more.
All right. Fair enough. All right. I was going to go on it, but what do you have? What's the next one?
So I have some thoughts on The Miz. If you guys watch Talking Smack, he cut another fabulous promo. Just
phenomenal.
Absolutely great promo.
He ripped that guy, who was it, Rosenberg?
Yeah.
He was wearing a Bobby Heenan thing.
Well,
awesome.
And he claimed it was a gift, but that he can do on his own.
Yeah,
time.
He probably made that up on his own.
Hey, if I had money like he does, I mean, he works in New York on radio. I mean, he's got to have a ton of money.
Jimmy, when you have a nickname called the Sarge, you had fans make stuff for you. You don't make them on your own. I'm just going to tell you.
Is that true? Is that why you had a hat made for yourself?
That's correct. No. Someone made it for me.
Who made it for you?
Don't worry about that.
You made it for yourself?
No, someone got it made for me.
I heard you requested the hat. That's the story I heard.
Well, your facts are once again wrong.
Well, that's okay, because I'm at least entertaining. On The Miz, he's going to win Money in the Bank next month, and he's going to be the WWE champion by the end of the year. And it wouldn't shock me if they're saving Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for a WWE championship program. And that's why we got Bryan versus Kaz and Miz rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. Is they've got a long-term idea that they're going to headline a show with Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for the WWE Championship. Maybe as soon as SummerSlam, because Bryan's contract is up, as far as we know, September 1st. And I think that's a long-term play. And I think everybody who was clamoring for it, myself included, thought, oh, well, it's obvious they're going to do Miz and Daniel Bryan right out of the chute. Nope, they're saving it for a bigger picture program. They're saving it for a bigger money match, and it's going to draw and it's going to have me hooked. And it wouldn't shock me if The Miz went over in the program.
Miz, you know, I know you said that Seth Rollins is the number one wrestler on Raw, and I think you could very easily make the case that The Miz is the number one wrestler on SmackDown. You know, all around talent in the ring, and, you know, phenomenal on the microphone. Just every time he talks, you listen, and he says something good. I totally could see that. Miz being that guy there, and it's a perfect fit for him, where he was a great Intercontinental Champion, but now with that level of talent that he can match up against on SmackDown, best thing they could have done was put Nakamura heel. You know, you get The Miz, maybe make him a face. You could if you want. I don't think they will, though. But him and AJ Styles, imagine those two going at it. And then Daniel Bryan, like you said, that's some good competition right there. That's perfect for The Miz. And very excited to see what he's going to do here in the next few months. Really am.
And if you've watched the WWE Network, they have a special going behind the scenes of the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw episode. The Miz got cheered when he beat Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And he took that as a sign of, wow, they actually respect me finally. And yep. He went over to the Manhattan Center and he did his bit where he puts his hand up and the crowd's supposed to boo him. Well, the crowd actually went silent and he was told to go out there and have fun. And so when he puts his hand up and the crowd actually went silent, he's like, oh, wow, I don't even have to do my line. And then he said, oh, well, let's do it together. And he did the, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. And he points to that moment as the moment where the WWE universe respected him. Mm-hmm. And I think that they've respected him for a long time, but that was the first moment where he actually got to felt it and he got to live it. And I think he's at a place right now where he's a villain and the crowd digs it. Yeah. And he now has to fight off the challenges of keeping himself on the evil side.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to be a heel than a face.
And it's more fun, too.
Much more. Well, yeah, look at you.
Thank you.
You embrace it, right?
Yeah, oh,
you
I
embrace
love it.
It. Yeah, see, there
I
you
want
go.
People to hate me. It's more fun that way.
Anyways.
But I think the bottom line in all of this is The Miz is going to, whether he wins Money in the Bank or not, and I think he might, he's going to get another run with the WWE Championship. And Daniel Bryan versus The Miz is a money program, and whether they do it at SummerSlam or if they get a contract extension for Daniel Bryan, I think that's a big money match that the WWE has that's going to have the emotional investments of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we've seen that rival before, and now that they're back on SmackDown together, both are on the same show together, it's just only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. But, you know, Daniel Bryan and Big Cass there, you know, Cass took the loss, you know, sore loser there. Did they feud one more time? Didn't they go at it one more time, or is that it?
I have to think that they'll continue the program for a little bit because Bryan got the tap out and then Cass kind of beat him up after the match. And
yeah,
it's kind of a way I feel like they're doing these post-match beat ups as a way to limit Daniel Bryan's schedule. Mm-hmm. So he's not, although he did do a dark match with Nakamura last week. So they're either trying to save his, they're probably trying to just save his bullets because they think he's only got a limited number of bullets, or contract's up September 1st, as far as we know. Maybe that's changed and we just don't know.
Hopefully they were new.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know about that. I kind of would like to see Daniel Bryan work the Tokyo Dome and have six-star matches against Kenny Omega or Cody or somebody like that. I don't know if a renew is exactly what I want. I'd have to give that a little bit more thought. But
yeah, well, we got time. But I want to see that in The Miz, Daniel Bryan in The Miz. I love that take.
Do you have any other big takeaways before we get to the closing question, which I seem to have teased, hopefully, enough to keep people involved?
Just to touch on it again, Jimmy. I mean, you know, your first pay-per-view in the U.S. after WrestleMania, and you didn't have Ronda Rousey out there. You didn't have Asuka out there.
Show need it, though?
You get me thinking, no, but I think to their caliber for what they're, the way they present themselves as top-notch superstars, they should have been there. And again, this has been me for years, and I know you're going to disagree, but when you are a champion, that title should be defended every pay-per-view. And Brock Lesnar not defending it there, that's wrong. It's not right.
Well, the old rule, the old Jack Tunney rule, was every 30 days the championship had to be on the line, and we've certainly moved past that.
Of course we have, yeah.
Because it's more about the attraction and the moment than it is the week-to-week matches. I mean, unfortunately, wins and losses, they matter when it's convenient for the company to make it matter, but for the most part, it doesn't matter. Wins and losses don't matter.
Well, I'm Jack Tunney's unofficial nephew, so I'm.
Is that true?
All for that role? No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm all for that.
Hey, we all have weird family lineage.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
My weird family lineage is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who, if you don't know who that is, he wrote the Sherlock Holmes mysteries.
Oh wow, very interesting.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've been told for all these years, so I'll go with it.
Mom or dad's side?
Mom's side.
Very nice. Very nice. Good stuff. Yeah, no, I just like that rule every 30 days and have it on there every pay-per-view. So that was my one thing that I was a little disappointed about. Overall, Jimmy, a lot of outrage against this show from fans, and even on the poll I posted, WrestleCast985, at WrestleCast985 on Twitter, F came in. F. It was overwhelmingly, and then, you know, CD right after that, B, but nobody gave it an A. Nobody.
I think I gave it an A.
Did you?
No.
Yeah. Of course you would.
I would have just to mess with the poll results.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think people do on these polls anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, especially people that don't watch.
So
actually, 1% A. There you go.
So there is a 1% who thought it was an A show. Good for them.
Yeah.
So I teased earlier, and I want to wrap up with this question, Mike. Mm-hmm. Do you like the idea of the dual-branded pay-per-view events every month as opposed to what it was seemingly four times a year?
I do and I don't. And the reason why I say I do is because you can get these co-branded matches, which
we saw.
Am
I talking to Felger? Like, that was such a fence-sitting, wishy-washy take.
It was. It was. Because
like,
he doesn't
have a take.
Because Felger doesn't give you a prediction either before a game, that weenie. Anyways.
So is there a take or is this?
No, hold on.
I don't know.
Stay with me.
I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to have. I mean, there's good sides and there's bad sides. And
I do like it. But last night, I hated it. Backlash, I hated it. Okay. Well, what? Do you not like? Is that not good enough for you?
It's an iffy opinion.
Well, I'm being honest. Well, you know?
I'm trying to do a podcast here, okay? I'm trying to do a podcast with opinions here, okay?
I like it.
It's bad enough my 2-6 show can't muster an opinion, but now you're going to...
Oh, gosh. All right, listen.
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever, and it's tough, and...
Yeah,
you know,
good Jim Murray impersonation.
No, that's wishy-washy Felger.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not bad. That's like a Murray thing, too. I like it. I do overall. But, however, Backlash was a joke. What do you got?
So I hate the dual branded pay-per-views.
If you are a
company that has split the brands into Monday and Tuesday night, they need to have their own special events, because there were 8 matches on this show, 5 championships were on the line. So what are you featuring? What are you highlighting? And it goes back to match times before, where you have a sequence of 3 matches that are 20 minutes or more in the Rollins match, the AJ match, and the Roman Joe match. And so Charlotte versus Carmella doesn't deserve more than 7 minutes. your Raw Women's Championship match of Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss doesn't deserve more than 8 or 10 minutes. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, which is a match that should be fabulous, only gets 10 to 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Where are my tag team championships?
Yeah.
Tag teams do matter. I hate to tell people, but tag teams do matter. So you've
Good
got
point.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn taking on an odd couple tag team of Strowman and Lashley. You couldn't have put a tag team title match in there. And so now you've got both brands and you're trying to highlight too many things. Keep them separate except for when they go head-to-head at Survivor Series. SummerSlam is their WrestleMania B. WrestleMania, obviously. And the Royal Rumble, where they cross over. And I think they're going to do crossover at Money in the Bank as well, which is fine. You have 8 to 10 superstars who are looking for that one briefcase. Although I think that they should have their own briefcase. They should have their own interaction and attempts at the championship instead of five from each side on the men's and women's side.
Right.
I understand it makes it more important. And I mean, I was clamoring for Carmella to cash in on the Raw Women's Champion for at least 6 months, more so to protect Charlotte because Charlotte doesn't deserve that.
Right.
But the idea that if they're separate, keep them separate as much as possible because then you're going to build up and you're going to have a quality dream match like Charlotte and Asuka or Joe versus Roman, which is a match we've seen previous, but because they're on different brands, we're not going to see that match for a long time now.
And then you get it at, and that would really be huge, like you said, for the Survivor Series and then the Royal Rumble. And
AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series was a fabulous match and a match that we got to see. And it's a match that we're probably only going to see once in our lifetime.
Yep, and the other thing, too, with your point on that, Jimmy, is that a lot of, like, you hit the nail on the head with the tag team. A lot of these guys and females are going to be left off the card. You know, a lot of wasted talent not on the pay-per-views because there's no room for them, more or less. You know, and if you're going to go back to the specific branded pay-per-views, don't do it every other week. It was too much. Just do 1 month Raw, 1 month SmackDown, 1 month Raw, you know.
So that makes a lot of sense, Mike. But the problem is you have so much TV to write that they can't stretch out storylines like that. But to agree with your point, because I think that they should have longer time between pay-per-view shows. They should have longer time between special events. But they can't, for whatever reason, they can't draw out a 7 or 8 week storyline.
They
can't do it because they have 3 hours on Monday and 2 hours on SmackDown.
Too much going on.
And they're getting, if not more money from the TV rights deals than they are the special events. It's at least close.
It just seemed like too much down your throat and too much added. No time to really digest it and really go for the next one there. Like you have Raw. Okay, so here's a scenario. Say last night, Backlash. Let's just say that was a Raw pay-per-view, okay? Then 2 weeks from now, you would have probably, what was the other one there?
The name doesn't matter, but it's a blue-branded pay-per-view.
You would have a SmackDown one 2 weeks later. And then 2 weeks after that,
you have Money in the Bank in Chicago, which can be co-branded.
It should be co-branded, but they would have it as one, the way they were going before. But now it's co-branded, and that's how they are right now. So I'm okay with it. You got to give it a chance. But after Backlash, though, that was a failure. They got a lot of cleaning up to do and a way to figure everything out here because that was not good. Not good at all.
So I have a few theories I want to run by you before we wrap up here as to why they're combining brands. And the most worrisome thing is I'll get to is my fourth take on this. Mm-hmm. The first one is cost, because it costs a lot of money to run these special events and these shows. Mm-hmm. The second one is having a WWE championship match on every show and saving Brock Lesnar for the special events. The third one is getting Raw fans to watch SmackDown. Because, I mean, I haven't looked at the ratings lately.
I think they're okay.
I think the live attendance number could be better, but I mean, I don't want to trek out of my house on a Tuesday night.
I
will. But it's a little bit more difficult these days. And The fourth is the most worrisome thing, is that they may be ending the brand split soon.
Wow.
That's not that informed. Happen? That's just me guessing, because these tendencies tend to lead to things, and Vince McMahon could wake up one morning and go, damn it, Bruce, we need to end the brand split. It's not working.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because the first brand split was in 2002, and that went all the way up until 2010, 2011. So it went for a long time. Then they did that whole super show. You know, you did some SmackDown ones on Raw for a while. And then back to the brand split of 2015. But obviously that was just to get SmackDown on Tuesday Nights Live, which has worked. I don't think, you know, Jimmy, I think you've come this far. You've obviously identified particular superstars on a show, and they've worked too hard to have it where it is, and it's been successful overall. So I don't see the brand split ending anytime soon.
Well, see, and one of the things that just popped in my head is they need a new TV rights deal.
Yeah.
And if Fox comes in and gives them a boatload of money, you'll have Raw on Fox 25, and you'll have SmackDown on FS1, or, you know, some idea of that. So
right, it's a good way to get over the other, you know, the FS1 channel there, help them out with ratings, because you're going to generate a new audience.
Unless they get preempted for this, or they get preempted for that. I mean, that's the thing with USA right now, is that they're not preempted for the dog show. They're not preempted for this. They're not prevented
the tennis.
For that. Yeah, the tennis.
Yeah, it's always
like
there,
that.
Yeah.
It's, they are the main show.
Right.
And whether they get more money from USA or whether they get, you know, a dream deal from Fox, they I think they'll want priority.
Yeah.
They'll want priority in everything.
Yeah, and that makes sense. However, the only thing with Fox, though, is that, you know, they have the contract with Major League Baseball and the NFL. So, I mean, the NFL will be a Sunday thing, but, you know, Major League Baseball, when the playoffs come around Monday night, they're not going to preempt
exactly.
the playoffs for Raw or SmackDown. So, yeah.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. But I think they got a lot of work to do here for the co-brand after Backlash. I'm still okay with it, but they got a lot of cleaning up to do.
Mike, do you have a closing thought?
Jimmy, good show as always. Follow us at WrestleCast985 on Twitter, at Sarge985, and go ahead. What is yours?
I want to thank everybody for the feedback that I got on the watch-along. I thought it was a terrible episode.
It wasn't.
I was kind of embarrassed that I actually posted it online, but people seemed to like it, and they liked it a lot.
They did.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And,
Jimmy.
You know, what we'll have to do is we'll do another one going forward. It won't be 90 minutes. I mean, that's the thing. We'll maybe this is a future poll topic, is what match would you like us to do a watch along for?
There we go.
And what we'll do is we'll do
it
like
options.
A 20-minute match or a 15-minute match. You know, we can figure out the details on that, but people like the watch along idea, which is which we stole from Conrad Thompson, who, I mean, I want to be more like Conrad Thompson, but I don't want to go to mortgage school and, you know, try to save with Bruce or, you know, anything like that.
By the way, Jimmy, I asked to give your Twitter handle, so go ahead. What is it?
It's at I am James Stewart.
Very good. Excellent. So,
So thank you for your feedback on that. Thank you for the feedback on the Matt Taven and Flip Gordon conversations. They are wrestling on May 9th at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium. If you want to check out the interviews that we did with Matt Taven and Flip Gordon, they are available in the archives over at 985thesportshub.com. They're on our Twitter feed at WrestleCast985. Matt Taven, a highlight of the Matt Taven conversation is Sarge talking horror movies with Matt Taven. That was my favorite part of the podcast. Absolutely. Because I have no depth or knowledge of it. And so you saved my bacon on that one.
Just put a little pepper on it. That's all you got to do.
Absolutely.
And by the way, the May 9th show, tickets available, ROHWrestling.com.
Yep. Just put in your Google machine and you can go from there and get tickets.
But after that interview, Jimmy,
and see Matt Taven Taven win the world championship.
That's a spoiler alert. Go Matt Taven. He's a man.
He's awesome. He's a good dude. So until next time, I am at I am James Stewart. He is Mike Sarge Riley at Sarge985. And to quote Gorilla Monsoon, Would you stop it?